The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. This is me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And this is episode 405 of the Columbia Calling podcast. This is the penultimate episode of the year. We'll be back next week with Kenneth Kosick, and he'll be talking about the dementia gene in Colombia. But this week, we're talking to Sebastian Larson, and we'll be discussing his e-commerce startup. It's a bit unusual, but I think you'll find it pretty interesting indeed, because check out the website secretos.com.co. They are revolutionizing the sex toy industry, the online sex toy industry in Colombia. So an interesting conversation about a different startup. Thank you to Nadia Ortiz for her time. And of course, thank you to those of you who continue to support the Columbia Calling podcast, either through Patreon, that's www.patreon.com/Columbia Calling, or on Ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/Columbia Calling, where you can make individual donations for podcast episodes and so on. And now over to Emily Hart with the news reported around and about Colombia. Thank you again, and don't go away.
I'm Emily Hart, and these are your top stories for the week of December 6th, 2021. Colombia's president, Iván Duque, has a disapproval rating of 69.8%, up from 51.9% this time last year, according to the latest poll by Invermer. It's the highest disapproval rating of any president recorded by the polling group. The death of a child of less than 2 years old in Bogotá has reignited the debate around a group of more than 400 indigenous Embera families who have been sleeping in tents in a park in the capital for more than 2 months, displaced by violence and clashes of armed groups in their lands. Since September, around 1,500 indigenous Embera have lived outdoors in Bogotá. Talks with the authorities relating to requests for assisted relocation have repeatedly stalled. At least 29 members of that community, most of them children, have had to be treated in medical centres during that time. This week, however, 130 families will move back to their territories, though negotiations continue in Bogotá. The Blue Shields, a group of protesters from this year's national protests known as the Paro Nacional, have gone to the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights to request protection. Since the unrest subsided, the prosecutor's office has charged numerous protesters with crimes like terrorism and conspiracy to commit a crime. But the Blue Shields say they have also been physically attacked and threatened. In the document submitted to the commission, they demand that the Colombian state respect their rights, investigate the harassment they have suffered, and set up a dialogue. While the petition has not yet been resolved, the commission is considering prioritizing it. Meanwhile, Andrés Escobar, made famous when images of him firing a gun into protests earlier this year went viral, will face charges, though it is not clear which, or whether he will be detained over the course of his trial. A new journalistic investigation has revealed that almost half of the priests investigated for sexual crimes against children in Medellín are still in their posts. According to magazine Vorágine and Conectas, of 43 priests who have been denounced for paedophilia and sexual abuse, 19 are still in office and only 3 were convicted. Cases denounced to the Archdiocese of Medellin are often resolved internally, and the families of those affected are routinely paid large sums of money. In Colombia, there are around 4,000 sex crimes against children reported per year. 10% of those cases reach a court, 1% result in convictions. This week, authorities seized hundreds of insects and arachnids on the Colombian border. Two German citizens were caught with 210 plastic containers, seemingly trying to take the specimens illegally to Europe. They included more than 200 tarantula spiders, a scorpion, and nearly 70 cockroaches, as well as numerous eggs. Colombia is one of the world's 17 megadiverse countries, host to tens of thousands of different species. It is, therefore, a target for wildlife traffickers, and more than 11,000 specimens have been seized already this year. Unemployment in Colombia has fallen to 11.8%, down from 14.7% in October 2020. Unemployment among women has fallen faster than unemployment among men, but the gap remains high. Women's unemployment is at 15.9%, men's is at 8.7%. A new report by the OECD, the Development Bank of Latin America, and the European Commission's ECLAC has urged the implementation of vaccination strategies to boost economic recovery. In the report, numerous international bodies warn that the structural issues in Latin American countries are more urgent than ever, and that in particular, four areas must be tackled to raise quality of life and encourage inclusive economic growth. Those are productivity, equality, institutional strength, and environmental sustainability. Meanwhile, the Colombian, Chilean, and Peruvian stock exchanges have approved a merger into a regional holding company, creating Latin America's second biggest stock exchange. The holding company, whose approval by each country's regulator is pending, would be based in Chile. The idea is to boost development of the regional market through encouraging international participation and standardizing business models. New daily cases of coronavirus in Colombia remain at an average of around 2,500. 75% of the country has now had one dose of vaccine, 50% are now fully vaccinated. Colombia will, however, extend its health state of emergency until February due to the emergence of the new Omicron coronavirus strain. The state of emergency was due to lift at the end of November. The director of Colombia's National Health Institute has said that we have to assume that the Omicron variant is already in Colombia. The reopening of the border with Ecuador has been postponed for the same reason, and US President Joe Biden will not be visiting Colombia in what was due to be his first meeting with Colombian President Iván Duque. Those were your top stories from Colombia for the week. Thanks for listening. And I'll be back next Monday.
And we're back. This is episode 405 of the Colombia Calling podcast. This week's very special guest is Sebastian Larsen. And, well, we've got an interesting story here, and I'm not going to let you in too much on it, but it's about a startup. Not your everyday startup. So, well, perhaps they should just, I mean, Sebastian should just launch into this. It's a startup called Secretos. And as you might guess, Secretos, well, secrets, yeah, it's a secret, it's something behind closed doors. Well, we hope, perhaps. Let's just jump into it. I'm kind of lost for words. How does a Brit and a Dane, how do they decide to open up an online sex shop in Colombia?
Yeah, that is a good question to start off with. Let me just say that almost everybody has the same reaction you have, Richard, when we start talking about this little venture. Well, it actually goes a bit further back. I started a dating site in Chile in 2008. Uh-huh. I lived many years in Chile before this. And we sold it, me and my brother, we sold it in 2000, 19, more or less. But during that course, somebody mentioned to me in Denmark, why don't you sell these sex toys to your customers in this dating store, in this dating site? And I actually didn't think that was a very good idea. We wanted to get a bit more serious site. But it kind of stuck in my mind, I guess. And then I came to Colombia in 2018, more or less. I walked the streets down in Cerca, what's it called? The Andino Mall, where you have actually a lot of physical stores, a lot of brick and mortar stores down there, sex stores, which I found curious because you don't really see any sex stores in England, in Denmark, in Germany, in, even in the States. There's a few flagship stores, but normally all these products, you sell them online today. Even actually in Chile, where I just came from, there's very few sex stores left. So I started to investigate a little bit about what actually was online, because my whole startup world was online from the dating side. And I found that the competition wasn't that great. There was still this concept of red light district, these stores hidden away. It wasn't something people talked about. And we had just been through, both in England and in Denmark, kind of an online revolution with these stores, where we went from exactly that, these CD stores in the strange neighborhood in the big cities, to getting these products up over the counter, talked about their benefits. A lot of women CEOs were putting their faces on these brands and stores, and I thought that could buy them. Maybe we hit something, and maybe there was a possibility to be the front runners in this cultural industrial revolution. These are big words, obviously, but in this little microscope of online business, actually sex toys is one of those who's fastest moving from regular stores to online.
Amazing.
Precisely because of the taboo. If you have the possibility to buy, how free can I speak on your podcast?
You can speak as freely as you want.
Okay. So imagine you're into anal dildos. There's just some products that are nicer that you buy them online instead of going down to the store and speak with the agent or whatever. So within the digital transformation of going from regular stores to online shopping, within this segment, precisely sex stores is faster moving. So I thought that's interesting. And it didn't seem they were at that point yet in Colombia. So maybe we could start this before anybody else and make a really, really nice store with high quality products and great service. Mm-hmm. This is one, as you could probably imagine, buying these products is a first for a lot of people. And it's not like walking into a shoe store and say, I use 45, give me the black ones, right? Yeah. there's a lot of questions, doubts, etc. So our focus point was, let's see if we can do this much better than it was today. I did a few test buys, I remember, in the beginning. And the stores here would literally deliver the products in a black plastic bag and leave it down with the portero in the edificio, which was terrible, you know. That's where we thought we could do something very, very different and of a different level and quality.
So you guys,
I spoke
down
to Ben about this. Yeah, exactly. Spoke to Ben about this, and he, being English, he obviously knew the story about Love Honey, which is one of the great success stories, retail success stories in England. I myself, from Denmark, we have another one called Sinful, which is now the biggest in Scandinavia. And precisely they did that. They took this concept, modernized it, got great products, great attention, customer service, etc. So, he was on board.
It's amazing.
Also, think he likes sex toys a lot.
Ah, you just said that to embarrass him. He might pop up on screen.
But I know.
He does or not, I mean, that's whatever floats his boat. But I mean, there's a lot in what you just said, and I'm you know, fascinated. Of course, we know about the stigma, you know, and everything. Walking into a sex shop or being seen walking out of one is, you know, is, and of course, then the I suppose the art. disapproving or all-knowing look from the vendor or the salesperson. And I don't know if in sex shops here in Colombia if they follow you around like they do in a regular shop. You know, it's like they're right on your shoulder. It's a la orden.
Yeah.
If they were doing that in a sex shop, you're not going to get any business whatsoever. But so I'm curious. I mean, you, this is amazing. You started. I mean, it's a different background starting in the dating world in Chile.
Yeah.
And I just need to sort of talk about that because Chile is a pretty conservative country. So I guess you were breaking down some barriers there, and it's, you know, very Catholic in its legal sense,
yeah,
I'd say.
Very much so.
So it must have been very interesting. And I'm sure, I mean, I don't know any of these sites or anything, but it must be very interesting to have launched that. Is there much competition in Chile?
Well, we were the first, actually. This was back in 2008. And again, I was very inspired by a Danish site and also Match.com, who at that point were huge successes. And there was nothing in Chile of the sort. And speaking of barriers, every time I asked somebody, what did they think of this idea? They all said, it's never going to work. No Chilean person will show themselves with their picture and in a dating site, admitting they're single and looking for a partner. Nobody will do it. And I thought, that's great. So nobody's going to do it. We're going to be the only ones, because of course it's going to work. There's not a country in the world where this doesn't work. Also, I think it was in 2006, actually, this is so far back, that Facebook actually started. So it started, it was so new back then, that to show yourself on online, right? Mm-hmm. With your picture and everything. So it was great. We had the market more or less for ourselves the first few years. Everybody thought we were crazy, which was great, because there was no competition.
How was
they
the
all
growth
started
then?
To come.
How quickly did it grow?
It was pretty quickly. The first year we had was free. We didn't charge any subscribers, any subscriptions, because we wanted to fill up the database. One of the things with a dating site is that the product is users, right? So you need to fill up that database for it to become interesting. If there's 10 users on the site, nobody's going to pay you anything. So we needed that bulk, that critical mass. Mm-hmm. And then we were very fortunate to get a lot of press because we were first movers, because this was such an interesting thing. So we were in every media for 2-3 years. Every time there was something around these holidays or the what's it called, the Singles Day or the
Valentine's Day.
Every 14th of Valentine's Day, exactly. And another thing we did was, which was interesting and cracked out a lot of barriers, was that we started actually showing ourselves, like, this is not dangerous. We're here. We also use it, which was a lie, obviously. But well, it wasn't a lie. Actually, my brother found his now wife, still wife, on a dating site when we did research for the site. But we did the speed dating events. So there was some physical element of it. We took away that, it's all hidden behind screens and it's all online. So we started these speed dating events, and that was publicity stunt. We got, again, a lot of press coverage. The Chilean press thought it was crazy fun to come down and film these events. A funny story, at the first very speed dating event we did, a couple met, and they got married exactly a year from that date, which was covered by one of the big TV channels. They actually went into the church and filmed the ceremony. Mm-hmm. So the growth from then on was just amazing, just crazy.
Amazing.
That was fun.
Yeah, I
bet. Was really fun.
And so now, winding forward, 2019, you say, well, okay, we've done our market research here in Colombia. There's, yes, down by the Andinos towards the Carrera 15, I think it is. Number of sort of sex shops you see on the second floor and the ground floor of these sort of dated shopping centers. I've never seen anyone going in or out. I mean, you know, I drive past every now and then with whatever. If you're going down to the country, Clinica del Country or places like that, you're driving past. You never see anyone around them. You sort of wonder how they make business. So I suppose it's sort of the typical manner in which they do, as you said, a black bag dropped off, someone paying by, you know, the cellular payment, sort of Nequi or something, or a transfer, and then a black bag dropped off at the doorman of a building. This is not service.
No. There was tons to improve. The first thing was just so obvious. Was about the packaging. Mm-hmm. We needed to be super discreet and communicate that to our users that when they buy something from us, it's not going to come wrapped in plastic. Yes. You could see what you bought, right? The old nightmare of the dildo shaped package arriving at your doorstep. So that was step number one to communicate that, and everything we sell today come in these square discrete boxes that you can find anywhere. There's no labels, nothing that says secretos or anything. It just comes with your name. We do personal deliveries. We have our own delivery motorbikes here, inside Bogota, and outside we send with Envia, but again with the discrete packaging. So that was first, because that is the number one question we get on the site, is how do you ship this? How is it going to arrive? So that was number one. Yeah.
Well, I browsed the site in preparation of this conversation, and everywhere it pops up, you know, it's like discreet packaging. I mean, that's the clearest thing you see. And I guess that's, as you've noted. So, I mean, I need to ask, again, a startup. A lot of my listeners like the idea of startups. You know, it's the, kind of a dream, yeah, being your own boss and doing it in a country like Colombia, giving you an enviable, very seductive quality of life and so on. But to start up something of this nature requires you getting in touch with all the manufacturers of these companies. So your market research had to go in, I don't know, did you look at Danish market research, English market research, and say, what are the most popular, most sold or sought after items? And I've looked at, there is a list of the best sellers and so on, which are kind of predictable, aside from the, there's like a pill with a bull picture on it and stuff, I guess, to make you more powerful.
That's the Viagra.
That's it, the Viagra one. Yeah. But, I mean, how did you do this kind of research?
Yeah, that was actually, you're spot on. That's how we did it. Because I personally didn't know anything about this business, nothing. Ben or the other investors didn't know anything either. So, but the good thing is today, it's pretty transparent, the market, right? Because you can go into, let's say, Amazon, and you can pull up the best seller list for sex toys, which they're very open about. Obviously, we did the same in England, we did the same in Denmark, and then we compared. And then the other thing, which I think was key, we hired people who already had a number of years within the industry as customer service or standing. There was one of the first girls we hired, managed one of these stores exactly down in next to Andino. She'd been there for 6 years. Another girl had been there for 4 or 3 years. So they knew, they already knew what do their customers need, what do they ask for, what is the must-haves in the store, et cetera. So it's a combination of those two factors. And then just like with the dating side, you need to have stuff on your shelves, right? Yeah. So it was about the first initial investment was inventory. Mm-hmm. But that was it. It was very basic. Just trawling through all these the best stores we could find, figuring out also the design, the layout, the menus. That was it.
But it's very clear. And the first investment of inventory must have been quite significant, quite a large expense.
Yeah, that was the biggest expense of setting it all up. I had run a test site before we set up our own company, where I made a deal with one of these stores down in Andino, next to Andino. And I said, I'll put up a website, but we'll sell your inventory and then we'll split 50-50. My long-term plan was to see, could we convert online customers to paying customers, and just to get a feel of how things were moving without having to invest in inventory, which is obviously the the biggest chunk of money that goes to that. And then, so from that on, we already had an established brand, more or less, even though it was, the setup behind it was very, very poor, very amateur. And we were depending on these this other site and this other store, physical store. So we had like a smooth running, you could say, on the front end of the business, because we just continued with the site. But then the whole back end, we turned into ours, especially the customer service with our way of doing things, you know, the speed of answering the chats, the WhatsApp. And as I said before, the packaging, which was super, super, super important for me to have that very, very nice and discreet.
Yeah, no, I think this is really interesting as well. So you've got these people, sort of, let's say, I would say, asesores, consultants who've worked in the industry, and they're saying, listen, this is what we mainly sell, this is what we don't sell. So I have to ask a sort of, question. In the first inventory you bought from wherever you bought it, is there some product that has been a total failure?
Yes, there always is. There always is. Right now, I'm actually looking at it, and it pains me because we still have three left. It is, and I can't get rid of it. It is. You remember those exercise balls, the big exercise balls that you see in gyms, sort of, that you could do. It's one of those pink, and it's got a dildo attached on top of it. And I can't get rid of it.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not the most discreet thing, is it? So it's a big ball.
Yeah. I mean, here it's in a small box and you inflate it when you get home, of course. But yeah, it's not something you just pull out, you know, from under the bed and or hide in your drawers. There's some buildup to it.
So there was a toy in my childhood called the Space Hopper. You know, it's a big inflatable ball with handles, and you'd bounce on it. I mean, I'm getting that kind of impression.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, and yet this is for a different different end. But so you've got three left. So how many did you buy in total?
Three.
Okay. So all right. I mean, okay. So
sold one.
and I have to ask then. So we've seen the least popular. What has been the most popular on your site?
Yeah, we have a few. Interesting enough, right when we started, more or less, the whole industry had a revolution, because there's a new kind of toy that came out, which is called the suctioner. So it's a clitoris stimulation. It's like a vibrator, but it has suction movements instead of vibration movements. So you kind of put it on the area, and then it'll make like a suction movement. And that has, I mean, It all over the world has been a huge revolution. So those products have sold amazingly well. There's especially one, I think it was them who actually invented the brand called Satisfyer. But now there's a ton of these variations, obviously. A great name, by the way.
I mean, they've got to be creative, haven't they, with the names?
Yeah. They actually promised in their commercials guaranteed an orgasm under 3 minutes. And apparently it's true, because it sells a lot.
Wow. I mean, this sells a lot. Again, things I know nothing about. So our purchases, I mean, I just have to say, between the genders, if that sells so well, do we take for granted that women are the most, are the biggest clients on your site?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, by far.
Okay.
By far. Well, women and couples, but, the majority, the vast majority of toys today are made for women.
Yeah.
And when I say couple, it's because we got, it's difficult to know, of course, who's actually the end customer, but a ton of guys buys, for instance, these clitoris vibrators, et cetera, and they obviously buy for women. So we kind of assume that's couples, right? And we have a category just for couples on the site, which is also very visited and very popular. So yeah, women and couples, I would say 80% of the toys we have are meant for women, and 20% are for men. So yeah, it's mainly women and users.
Yeah. What kind of hit rate do you get on the website? I mean, you must look at what kind of figures you're drawing in, like daily, monthly, or so on, because it'd be, I mean, it's just a fascinating idea, is this.
Yeah.
You must.
Let me see. I think we have, let me give you the exact number. I think it's, let me see. How many visits? We have about 1,500 a day, more or less.
I would say it's a very decent. And of course, then that, you know, there's a percentage of that that turns into repeat visitors and buyers. So, I mean, you've got to be happy.
Exactly.
Are there, I mean, talking philosophically about this, are there conclusions then that you've reached by seeing, let's say, first of all, the rate of hits on the page to the conversion into what sort of sales? You sort of say, Colombia is a country with a strong Catholic background and a certain stigma surrounding this. That's why we're a success story. Is there something sort of socially that has sort of occurred to you, saying we're doing well because of this?
Yeah, I mean, we have some kind of first mover effect that's we've seen a lot of competitions trying to duplicate what we do, especially with the packaging and the we have custom service from 6 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Wow.
And we see a lot of those being duplicated. End of the day, one of the things that I always thought before we started this, sex is never going to go away, right? It's never going to be a fashion or some. I tried once and then not again, you know. So sex sells, and it might sound a bit crude, but it actually does, and it's a huge part of our lives today. So sex toys, and this is scientifically proven now, various university studies, improve your sex life greatly. One of the things, I can't remember if it's number one or number two on the list, when you ask couples why do they split up, why do they get divorced, it's lying there that the sex life kind of stopped and it wasn't fun anymore, I just got into a routine, and from there it creates other issues in a relationship. So it is a hugely interesting product. So if you put it in front of people, they will click on it, mm-hmm. right? And if you don't have a lot of websites, which was the case before we started, you're never going to know if it's going to be a success. But if you start putting these things in front of them and start on their Google searches, et cetera, and you show up with a really good, high-quality product, it's going to sell, obviously. So you could say that it was kind of a sleeping business just waiting for somebody to take that first approach. Mm. You see in countries like the UK and US and Denmark, they've grown a lot, but now they're starting to do commercials on TV channels. So there's even more ground to be gained there. And this is something that started recently with the TV commercials. So there's still tons of business to be made. And we're just in the early stages here in Colombia. So I don't want to sound modest or anything, but it is what it is, right? We didn't invent any product or any desire. It was there, but we put it in front of them, and we probably, the packaging in the hall with the website, with the service, with delivery is very, very good. Very, very strong. So that's definitely part of it. Definitely part of it.
I mean, you ever thought of yourself, Sebastian Larsson, saving marriages in Colombia?
In Colombia, hopefully. Yeah, I know I created a ton of marriages in Chile. Hopefully we can maintain them here in Colombia. That would be a great protection. Maybe my next business will be some divorce lawyer.
Oh, there you go.
Fulfill the circle.
Oh,
no.
Boy. But I'm. This is amazing because you started in late 2019. And I think that you obviously, everything... Well, a lot of things. I mean, you've got the quality service, you've got the, you know, the discretion But you started at the right time. Everything's timing as well, isn't it? And of course, we went into isolation and quarantine and so on and so forth. And I just wonder, I did see articles of, in the press, a lot of the English-speaking press based here in Colombia talking about the increase in sales in sex toys. Were those articles about you, or was that about just in general?
There was one about us. Okay. I can't remember who wrote it, but that was definitely a thing. We were just starting out, so it caught us a little bit by surprise. This was in March when the complete lockdown was in 2020. So we were just literally starting, and we tripled our sales in March. It was crazy. I had to send also because of the pandemic, everybody home. So yeah. I was the only one at the office. So I was packing like a maniac for these months. I was alone from March to about, I think it was, September we opened up again in Colombia and people could come back to work slowly. Yeah, that was some crazy month. And it makes complete sense, right? Yeah. You're at home. What are you going to do? You're bored. Well, somebody can deliver a vibrator. I'll give that a try.
You know? Well, see, you do read. I mean, you read that the shutdown or the lockdown, the isolation, the quarantine, it caused problems for couples, of course, and of course it resolved problems for couples. And what about the people stuck alone, maybe single people without flatmates or anything at least to talk to in person? I can only imagine that. Again, timing is everything. It's just there will be sociological investigations into this. There will be academic articles in the future surrounding this, of course. And
100%.
I think it's just, I mean, you, as you say, with startups, again, timing is everything. Things can just sink. And you guys, obviously, as you said, caught a little by surprise. You are there packing. I love the image of you packing toys from morning till night in a warehouse office in Bogota. It's brilliant.
Exactly. That's how it was.
Let's put this for those of them listening only on audio. A Danish guy in an international company startup in Colombia, in Bogota, packing up sex toys that have arrived from various countries to then distribute around Colombia. I mean, it kind of reads a bit like a comedy film script.
Completely.
But we're not laughing.
I felt I was in a movie sometimes because it was so surreal. It was so surreal. Especially when it start to be completely automatic. Luckily, my girlfriend was with me, so she helped pack also. But once the conversations just go into hand me that vibrator, and you don't even notice. It's so weird.
That's so when it comes into common parlance and you're not aware. Listen, it's going to cheer, whatever. What I like about this is that you've taken this store off, let's say, the high street, and you may by being online, you're more widely available, and again is the discretion, so therefore you've taken a stigma out of it, and you've taken this, well, in inverted commas, the scandal out of this. And I would say in a way it's kind of like a public service.
That's exactly our approach. Also, it's worth mentioning that we also work with the sexologist here who also give their tip and input. They rate the products and tell about the benefits, both health-wise and sexually, about all these products. So we try to give it that's exactly it, to be as informative and conscious about the benefits of these products as possible. And again, there's tons of studies now that show that, for instance, it's 80% more likely for a woman to reach an orgasm if she uses lubricants, which is something that's mind-boggling. Again, if they use toys in the relationship, it hugely improves how long they're going to stay together and be happy together, which is logical. But it is we're trying to give it that angle as well, obviously. And we have a ton of these products that actually are meant for women's health. Kegel balls, various kind of lubricants to help after birth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not just, you know, the funny story about the dildo and the bachelor party. It is actually some serious products, and they're not cheap. The old days where you went to one of these stores and you bought a cheap dildo from some plastic manufacturer in China, those days are more or less gone. Now there's a lot more focus on quality. Back in the days, you hear these horror stories about people getting sick because these products, you insert them, right? So it has to be under some control then. Back in the day, it was no control. So that's a huge factor also.
We go to the you know, the health side of things, of course, is of imperative importance. But let's talk about the startup side. Making a startup, creating a startup in Colombia, it's, you know, Colombia can be challenging in these things. Are there any regulations to importation of these sorts of goods? Have you encountered problems getting the containers in, or having to pay? You know, people say you can't bring this in. It's the moral decay of society. Because I can believe it when you listen to some of, let's say, the more hard right politicians here. You'd think that they would try and crack down on all of this. And I don't know. My other sort of query was coming out from left field as well, is sort of what, when you went to register at the Cámara de Comercio, so the sort of chamber of business, and you have to describe what the company is, what kind of looks did you get there?
Well, the first part of the question, no, we haven't had any issues with imports. We split more or less our inventory. So we import about 50% and we buy from local distributors the other 50%, especially all lubricants and sadists and stuff like that, which is ready available here in Colombia and much easier. You don't have to battle with Envima and everything. but we have, so there's no problem importing. We haven't heard of any issues, but I have seen some of the descriptions of the products in these import notes being very, I think there was one that said these are remote controls because they actually fall under the same with batteries and there's something there, but it's definitely not a remote control. But no, there wasn't any. And the looks we get, every time.
Yeah.
But the best look I got was when I went to the bank to open the bank account, and and the first woman that I spoke with sent me straight into the bus because she did not want to handle this, and I could feel that this was such a minor thing that of course it was under her power to sign the papers and everything, but she just did not want to send me into the bus, and the bus completely red in her face when I just said it like we were selling socks. Yeah, it's this, isn't this? And she's like, oh, okay. But she was like struggling to find the right words, but there wasn't any of, you can't do this, you can't sell this. Because, of course, it's just, it's normal. I don't think there's any laws or any.
I don't think so. That would, the industry. No. I think that's hilarious, though, that you know, the first bank employee passes you on to the boss. I suppose
super obvious.
Either she's embarrassed, or she doesn't know, or just doesn't. In case she gets in trouble, you know, that making an error on this, and so I'm passing it on. It's got to be amusing on that front. But of course, you know, if everything's totally legal and above board, then there's no issue.
Yeah. But we don't actually mention it. If they ask deeper questions, and normally it's just an e-commerce, what do you sell, what we sell, different kind of health products. So I don't say sex products unless they ask. So
how many, I mean, I have to ask, is this a big venture? How many investors do you have?
We have six investors.
It's reasonably, it's manageable, definitely. It's not a huge amount, but, and are they all foreigners here in Colombia?
Yeah, wow. I'm the odd one out because I'm the Danish guy and the rest are English. All resident here in Colombia except for one who's in London.
Okay. So it took a Dane and several English guys to open an e-commerce site for
exactly
intimate products, let's say. And okay, so you know, I mean, it's just a fascinating thing. And so it's a success story. You're paying dividends to your investors.
Yeah, well, hopefully soon. We're definitely still in the growth phase. So, whatever money we have, we spend on extra marketing, better products. That's the phase we are right now. Now we're trying to figure out to make a deal to get some extra advertising. Maybe via TV, radio, etc. So hopefully we can grow even more.
Yeah, definitely. I can see it growing, definitely. So the website is secretos.co. So it's secretos.co.
It's actually, yeah, that also works, but it's .com.co.
Okay, .com.co. Okay.
Both would take you there, yeah.
Well, we'll put that up on the Facebook page and see before it's taken down if someone decides to well, I do have some quite antagonistic listeners and people that follow on Facebook, but that's the nature of social media. So I'll put it up there, and of course I'll throw it all over Twitter. I cannot promise you sales or anything, but perhaps there'll be a slight Columbia Calling bump. But
that'd be nice.
It's fascinating to know what other immigrants to Colombia are doing, and that, you know, this is not the obvious thing. Let's say, you know, like I did back in the day, opening a hostel, evolving into a hotel, or starting a travel agency, or this is not the obvious thing. And I think that's therein lies the success, because you're kind of pioneers in this. I assume there are other outfits out there, but if the way you run it, and I'm sure it is the way you run it, with the proper attention to detail and the service, and the word we keep coming back to, discretion, then it's a success story. Customer service in Colombia still has quite a long way to go. So if you've brought that Danish and English level to it, then you're head and shoulders above the competition. Other question off the top of my head as we come to a close. I mean, the office is in Bogota, and so this is where you're sending the products from. Is there a region or a city of the country that has, you know, is the highest, there's the highest demand for any of your products? You could say, oh no, they buy the most or something.
No, it's Bogota is by far the biggest, also because we send it here and we can deliver faster here. But then it just the big cities. But there is one thing that is funny, because we get a lot of, well, not a lot in if you compare it to Bogota, but we get sales from the Amazons. And that is strange. But it's great because we cover the whole country. So we send sometimes some packages to the Amazonas, where I guess it's very difficult to find a decent vibrator, I'm guessing.
I'm sure there aren't too many shops.
No. The Amazon. But that's funny when those tick in, and it's not like small. I guess when they buy that far away, they tend to get a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and if you're buying a few things, they're probably going to do some resale there too as well. So it's
it could be also.
Well, anyway, listen. Thank you so much for your time. This has been really quite enlightening, and I can see that there's a health element to what you're doing as well. I mean, you were quite firm on that, and in the issue of lubrications, and of course, couples, almost like couples therapy as well. But this is normal. There's nothing to be ashamed about, really. But it's again, you know, you faced it by seeing that sort of bank middle manager not wanting to deal with your request or so on. But it sounds like to me that you've got a real success story on your hands. And well, I mean, here's hoping that we don't go into another period of isolation and quarantine if there's a fourth wave with this Omicron variant that's surging elsewhere. But for you, yeah, it might be a real, a boon for business.
I'm running around sneezing on all the people I can sneeze on. It was great for business.
Okay. Well, at that totally un-PC remark, I think we'll bring this to a close. Sebastian Larsen, thank you so much for your time. It's been really interesting talking about secretos.com.co. So for those of you interested, just look that website up. It's secretos.com.co, and the cover all of Colombia.
Well, thanks a lot for your time. It was super fun. Good experience.
It's a lot of fun to talk on this about passions, I guess. So anyway, that's us for now for episode 405. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. Of course, you can support us on patreon.com/Columbia Calling for as little as $2 a month. And of course, make one-off or membership donations on Ko-fi, that's KO-FI Columbia Calling. I'll be back next week. Next week, 406 will be the last episode of the year. That's the last episode of 2021 because, well, we need a little break too over Christmas. But we will be back next week with another fascinating conversation with someone Columbia related or with something going on that's Columbia related. Thank you to all of you out there that's been listening. Thank you to Sebastian for his time. I've been Richard McCall. This has been Columbia Calling. Bye bye.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.